All right. I make backup recordings.
That doesn't really matter. Okay. People have lots of different ways.
All right. Here we go. In three, two,
shoot it.
One.
Hit it.
Jay and Mark Duplass, thanks for speaking with us today at SlashFilm.com.
Thanks Cheers. For being here with us in this conference room that we are inside of.
This is how we connect with our audience.
This is awesome.
I cheers
yeah.
you.
What is, yes. that, is that water you got there? No, Liberty Hotel water.
No, you're not supposed to say this. People are supposed to think we're badasses who drink straight vodka.
My bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
You we are so... Color.
This is Everclear.
We are so hammered right now. At 2:40 p.m.
You seen get them to the Greek, dude? They got nothing on us.
Right.
I only slept 8.5 hours last night. Like, oh, I am crazy. God.
Well, you look it. You look it. All right, guys. Let me ask you this. I mean, I fight with my brother all the time.
Yeah.
How do you guys...
How do we do
okay,
it?
Okay, no. Let's go back even further in time. When was it that you first decided you wanted to make films?
We just... We're obsessed with films for a really long time, but we grew up in New Orleans. It's kind of like a third world place. We went to prep schools. We didn't even realize that people made films. It's just they just showed up in the cable box at our house.
We enjoyed them.
You know, we enjoyed them over and over again. We were just kind of, you know, they just kind of got piped in from some mysterious place. So it took us a long time before we actually realized that human beings make films and that, you know, they get paid to do so. Probably didn't figure
out.
Wait.
You get paid?
No. I just heard that other people do, and I was just going to, like, let them think that we get paid because,
oh,
like,
got it. Okay.
I didn't want
got
them to
it,
think
yeah.
that we're just as, like, we're not pro or
all right,
something.
That's
like,
yeah,
you know.
Okay. That's
we
good.
Get paid lots of dollars and...
Kind of important.
Traveler's checks and stuff.
Kind of big time.
To make art and stuff.
Nice. Make art and stuff. But yeah, we're film fans.
So
I mean,
when
we're
you,
film dorks.
And when you realized that people actually make movies, there's someone behind the camera.
Yeah.
It was like an epiphany.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of like, oh, Dad has this camera where he like shoots stuff of us. So when I was about 6 or 7 and Jay was like maybe 10, we started to pick up the camera and at that point you had to like link it into the VCR to record something. So Jay would carry the camera and I would carry the VCR and also act with the VCR around my shoulders, and we started making these little shitty things, you know, and
within the arm's reach of an electrical outlet.
Yeah,
because our battery our battery kind of like ran down in the first 6 months and we didn't have the wherewithal to, like, know that you can buy a new battery, or we didn't have the balls to, like, ask our parents to drive us to some weird store and buy a new battery, so
right.
we just kind of, you know, limitations.
Right.
And still, yeah. to this day, we don't use batteries.
That's right.
yeah, exactly. And that kind of developed into, you know, us making music and us just kind of... But it was very, like, arts and craftsy. These will be our hobbies, you know, but
right.
we're still going to go get our primary education and go find some other way to make money. And then we started an editing business in Austin when we were in our late teens and early 20s.
Right.
And that was like, oh, we're making money editing movies. Like, we're kind of tangentially entering the business.
Let me tell you, it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're editing indie features in Austin, Texas... The money just rolls in. I mean, we were like naked in a room with money, just throwing
yeah,
it up and down.
I'd say, yeah, accounts receivable were a little bit higher than the account itself in that business.
Yeah. Oh, accounting jokes.
Yeah, accounting jokes, yes. Love
anyway.
That. Math humor.
Let me ask you guys, I got to ask you about Cyrus, which is out in theaters on June 28th.
No, you don't. We're not here to talk about Cyrus at all,
all right.
ever.
All right.
Cyrus is out in theaters on June 18th. In New York and L.A.
And then expanding
on the 25th. Probably won't get wide until the middle of July. It's that Searchlight. You have to wait.
Right.
Because it's
good.
An important movie.
The movie stars John C. Reilly, Marissa Tomei, and Jonah Hill. And I've seen it. It's great. Let me ask you guys, what was the inspiration behind the movie? Thank you.
You're just going to eat those cookies right there
you
in front of us?
You
that's
can have
disgusting.
For
no,
he just,
we don't
he
be
just
fat.
Got cookies served to
fat.
Him while he
yeah.
was interviewing
this
us.
This is for the table.
Yeah.
This is for
yeah.
the table.
Yeah.
This is how this happens. This is
it's all about him, isn't
it's
it?
It's all about him, dude. I bet you he flew first class for this interview.
He probably did. God dang it.
He got a blowjob on the plane.
So how did you guys? You guys were there. You guys.
Yeah, I'm the eyes and ears of this institution.
You're welcome to any of these cookies.
I appreciate it, but we really are on a diet. When you're on a press tour, it's real easy to
fatten the calf, if you will.
Good drums, though.
Just tell us a little about the movie, and then I'll move on to more.
Very good.
No, Cyrus we'll talk about is, the movie.
Cyrus is essentially our first big studio movie. It's still a small studio movie in the scope of things, you know. But for us, we came from a world of making very small micro-budget films, you know, for under $50,000. And so, we put together this movie with Fox Searchlight. It's a very indie-friendly studio, pretty much. Besides Focus Features, maybe the only indie-friendly studio still left,
right.
You know? And they were like, we want to make one of your guys' movies, you know? And we were not only surprised, but really appreciative of the opportunity. So, you know, we built this story that was essentially a very simple story. It's just a love triangle movie, really. But we wanted to do it in a new and interesting way. So we decided to make one of those parts of the love triangle, the woman's son. You know, and what fascinated us about this movie from the get-go was the concept of a relationship between Marissa Tomei and Jonah Hill, you know, a mother-son relationship where they function almost like an older married couple. You know, they're emotionally dependent on each other, and they are spiritually codependent and socially codependent, and they're very intimate. They don't have romance or sex, but they're fulfilling 95% of the roles that a marriage fulfills. And what happens when John comes along and he has the chance to be 100% for her, you know? And so that type of kind of dramatic, kind of funny, kind of awkward conflict is pretty much the trifecta for what we love in movies. And so it felt right that we would make a very small story that takes place mostly inside of a house on the east side of L.A., as our first studio movie, you know, keep it close to our hearts and what we're used to doing, but maybe do it with some big movie stars and try and reach a bigger audience than we were able to reach with, say, Puffy Chair or Baghead.
This question is personal, so feel free to pass if you don't want to answer.
Mine is bigger. Next question.
Okay, next question. Did your own relationship with your mother inform the film in any way?
Not really. I mean, Mark and I do draw a lot of inspiration and material from our own lives and from, you know, the lives of people around us. But, you know, this movie really was born of, like, a desire for us to, like, create a love story. That was the first and foremost sort of instinct because we had been, you know, working on, I mean, our previous films explore relationships where the man and the woman are at conflict with each other. So we really wanted to have a different...
Well, they're more about the death of love, the older
yeah,
ones were.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is about the birth of it.
We wanted something...
There.
We wanted to have that, like, hopefulness to start the movie and for the conflict to come from another place. And, you know, once we sort of, like, figured out that the third leg of that triangle, love triangle, was going to be, you know, Molly's son, that's what really got us fired up and knew we had a movie on our hands.
At slashfilm.com, we like to talk. We love movies. We like talking about movies. We like sharing about our favorite movies. So I thought I'd ask you guys, what are some of your favorite movies? I want to know, like, kind of some directors that inspired you guys,
mm-hmm.
and also, like, some movies that inspired you guys. And then separate from that, maybe, what are movies that you, like, just keep coming back to over and over again? Like, that you,
yeah.
like, it's in the DVD player, like.
Yeah,
that's cool.
You know,
there are those movies that are watchable that you just want to see over and over
right.
and over again for some reason, you know.
Right.
And they're not always your favorite movies
yeah,
for whatever
exactly.
reason too.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
In the past for us, you know, like Romancing the Stone was a movie where it was
nice.
Just like, this is a movie I can watch.
Can't
all
turn it
over.
Off. It comes on and you better just like cancel your plans for the rest of the day.
Also there's a very strong and justifiable reason why TBS runs Dumb and Dumber 17 times a week. That movie
mm-hmm.
is gorgeous
yes.
and wonderful.
What's your favorite scene from that movie?
Oh,
any
so many.
So many?
That's
so
like,
many.
That's like, what's your favorite thing about heaven? You know? I mean, is it the pillows? Is it the kisses from God? Is it, you know, the eternal flowing fountain of chocolate?
The 14-hour massages?
Yeah.
it's all wonderful.
There is that wonderful moment where Mike Starr, one of the villains, you know, finally dies because of his ulcer.
That's I was thinking that exactly.
And that wonderful pause when they watch him die on the floor, and you're thinking, oh, wow, they're realizing he's dead. And then they go, and they for one of the dumber comedies in the world, they get ahead of you for a second, and they make you think you know what's going on, but they get you, you know. It's good.
Yeah. Well, I love how in that scene, you know, they obviously give him the peppers, and it makes him all messed up, and then they feed him the rat poison.
Yes.
I think it'll help.
Right.
It makes him.
Good intentions, man.
Good intentions.
Just, you know, you can't do anything bad to those guys.
Kind of like in your movie, good intentions can sometimes lead to
terrible consequences.
Great conflict.
It's a good observation. We've lately kind of hit on that, and we haven't been able to verbalize it before, but we love the idea that the characters in our movies, you know, they are actually self-aware, and they are pretty smart, you know. They just happen to be really desperate. And their modes of operating are a little messed up, and that just because you might have gone to therapy and you understand your emotions doesn't mean you can avoid conflict, you know. And that's how we experience the world, and it's funny to us to watch those people go through it.
Right. In the past, you've been making movies for the last decade or so, roughly. I mean, longer when you're doing if you count the editing and stuff.
Right.
Before, have the last 10 years or so sort of changed the types of movies you want to make, or
seven years. Literally, yeah. A moment in 2003 when we made our first successful short film, This Is John.
This Is John, which went to Sundance.
Yes, right? That changed everything for us.
I mean, prior to that moment, we were trying to be other filmmakers. We were trying to, you know, make films that we thought we should make, trying to be the Coen brothers. You know, and you can't do that. You can't beat
we're
the
not Jewish.
Brothers at their game.
It's okay.
And we're also not that smart.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so, you know.
We don't smoke enough pot either.
No, we don't. That's what we've heard, but we're thinking about starting.
We got to get in on that, dude.
But, yeah, I mean, we kind of lucked into this sort of documentary style of filmmaking where we're exploiting these, really weird little moments between people that, you know, are genuine and also happen to be, you know, emotionally deep and funny at the same time. I mean, it's basically, you know, Mark and I have always had these private conversations about these embarrassing things that we've done in our lives, or sitting on a park bench and looking at two people, and you can sort of feel the dynamic, and you can feel how personable and just how specific and microcosmic their behavior is. And, you know, we've always sort of cringed and laughed at just how amazing those interactions are. And I don't know, we kind of lucked into it one day by actually putting it on film, and it wasn't until we did that we realized, oh, this is who we are, and this is what we have to offer the world. Wish we had figured this out 7 or 8 years ago, because if we hadn't, we, you know.
You're putting it back after you...
I'm just smelling it. I'm not eating it.
I can't eat it now.
Why?
Yes, you can.
Because you touched it and smelled it.
My nose didn't even touch the cookie.
I'm saying you're welcome to it, though.
Mm-hmm.
It also touched the other cookie, too. You might have contaminated two cookies.
You contaminated two cookies already.
Two cookies down.
It's just so you know, I made them better.
All right. I believe it, sir. Let me ask you this. Something that was surprising to me when I talked with Mark at Sundance was that you said you test your movies heavily.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to follow up with you back then, because it was all crazy, but now we have leisurely that we can talk about it. So tell us about the testing process for your movies. In my mind, you know, from watching DVD special features, you see the testing, it's oh, you have a version of the movie, and then people fill out cards, I like this, I didn't like this. Tell us about your testing process.
It's somewhat similar to that, although the early form is usually with us and a group of trusted filmmaker friends who know plot and no story and can not only help advise us on how the movie's playing as a viewer, but also advise us as co-filmmakers as to maybe some ideas for solutions. And we have a version of the movie we think is, okay, this is as far as we can take it without knowing how it's doing. So we put it up, usually a ton of mistakes in it, and more importantly, there's...
When you say mistakes, what do you mean? A boom mic is visible?
No, a mistake would be at this point in the movie, we're assuming that people know where Cyrus is at emotionally.
I see.
And then when we get there, we're they know too much or they know too little. So now we have to go and tweak those story elements, amplify them or obscure them in order to, you know, get people where we think that they should be to give them the optimal viewing experience. And but lucky for us, we improvise enough so that gives us a lot of options. So it's a blessing and a curse having all those options. Some people shoot movies, they have problems that they just can't fix because they don't have the footage.
Right.
They finish a lot faster than we do. We have tons of options, so it's great. We can fix it, but it takes us 9 months to edit a movie.
Right.
So it's a pretty laborious process.
You know, you talked about, in the other interview I did with you at Sundance, which people should listen to, because it's available, you talked
and
about...
And it's good.
And it's good.
It's
let me
really
tell you.
Good.
Yeah, seriously, it's awesome. You talked about...
Uh-oh.
We have a drink coming
up.
Uh-oh.
Oh! Here it comes, guys. Wait for it. Smoothie boothie.
Nice. What is that?
It's a daiquiri.
It is ambrosia. It is food of the gods.
All right. Maybe I'll get that.
I want to tell you guys something right now.
What?
This thing right here is served between 6 a.m. and 11 a.m. at this hotel. That's what it says on the menu. You know what time it is right now?
What time is it, Mark?
It's like 3 o'clock.
Wow.
P.M.
So they're like...
Future Oscar-nominated director right here.
There you go.
That's how you get your smoothie.
They're like, can I have this drink? Oh, I'm sorry, we don't serve that anymore. Excuse me, this is for Jay Duplass?
This is for Jay Duplass. Well, actually, they say it's for Mark Duplass. It can pull some more weight.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Get it by screaming.
What was my question that I had asked? Yes. So it takes 9 months to edit the movie. So aside from the editing, I'm wondering, you were talking about in our interview about how you have like a script, right? It's like 100 pages and everything like that, but people improvise on it however they want.
Yeah.
What do you feel like are the biggest problems associated with this process? Do you run into any problems with that? Because it's not, you know, not how people conventionally...
The problem is it's hard. It's a lot easier if you write a script and then people come and they come to the exact piece of tape on the ground where you tell them to come to,
right.
And then they say the lines and then you turn around and you go to the other side.
That's
and
an empirical process.
That's
when
something
you shoot that thing.
You can
it's in
schedule
the camera,
it,
it's
and
done.
You're just like, okay, he did his lines. I mean, I'm oversimplifying the process, and I'm not saying that other people.
Right.
Can't achieve great art by doing that. I mean, we're obsessed with the Coen brothers. They are the most controlled filmmakers
yep.
that we can imagine. They're probably, you know, our favorite directors out there. That being said...
I'm sorry, this interview is boring.
Yeah. God, get it together,
what?
Dude.
What happened?
You yawned.
I think I actually fell asleep there for a second. Who are you? What happened?
We're in an interview.
I need some ambrosia. What's going on?
You don't
here?
Want some of that. I got a cold.
Okay, that's right.
I also have... leprosy. Anyways, but I mean, for us, the only way we figured out how to make something that inspires us and that feels right to us is by, you know, working in this controlled chaos environment that we create, you know. And ultimately, what we're doing is trying to create an environment where lightning can strike and something magical can happen that is very lifelike and unexpected, but also organic to the process. And you know, you have to step into the unknown, and it's painful. I mean, our movies, like, look like they're probably really fun to make, and it is an incredibly rewarding process, but it can be a very grueling process.
Got it. Mark, next question for you. You were
what?
An actor...
Sorry.
You were an actor in Hump Day, is that correct?
Yes.
And that movie, I would say, very different film from Cyrus, but stylistically, Jay's just gone up and standing at the wall. It's stylistically similar in some ways, I would say, in terms of the dialogue, and I believe both films were there's a lot of improvisation in both films. How would you compare your directing style with Lin's? And I'm not saying, you know, talk trash about her. I'm just saying, like, in terms of the way you guys work, can you?
Well, the difference. The major pressure that one feels, sorry, the difference between
it's okay.
Difference between Hump Day and Cyrus, I would say, is we use a traditional script, and Hump Day was just an outline.
Well, mostly an outline,
you know.
Right.
So there's a little more of an onus on. The actors and the moment to create the narrative structure, but you know there are some inherent similarities in the way that we work.
Got it. Cool. All right, well, apparently I just got the warning, so I got to get going. But
that the warning?
That was another warning of a different nature.
Good.
Let me just ask you guys. I know about the Jason Reitman project. I know about
How that. How the hell do you know about that?
So can you tell any... You guys have finished shooting it, right?
Yeah.
And so can you tell us... I know it's about a stoner who goes in search of wood glue.
Yeah. That's kind of like an erroneous perception of the movie, unfortunately.
Correct my erroneous perception.
Well, the movie is about a guy named Jeff who lives in his mom's basement. He's 30 years old, and he's sort of waiting for the universe to present his destiny. He is not going to go out and just, like, do anything because he doesn't feel like that's special. And so one day his mom asks him to go out and get some wood glue, and what that does is it sends him out into the suburbs and strip malls of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where he sort of undergoes this epically small journey of, you know, mythic proportions for Jeff. And it's about sort of discovering these big, beautiful, strange things in banal places like Applebee's and Chili's. And he eventually hooks up with his brother, and his brother's going through something pretty intense, and they have a very conflictive relationship. And it's about these two guys kind of discovering their destiny.
Stylistically, is it similar to your other films?
Or it is. It's, you know, it's everything we do always kind of has either a different step or sometimes even a step up.
Right.
Cyrus was obviously a big step from Baghead, and Jeff is I would say, even another step up from Cyrus.
Why are you laughing, Jay?
We've been in interviews for a while today.
Really? I could not tell.
Woo! I believe the term is punchy. Way past that. Punchy was at noon.
Loopy.
How about last question? How about the dodeca pentathlon?
We are we're working on it. But
can you tell us any details about that movie?
There's nothing that we can say at the moment, but some hot shit is happening as we speak.
Alright. And
we'll know a lot more in the next couple of weeks.
Alright. Well, Mark and Jay Duplass, thanks for speaking with us today at slashfilm.com. Your film Cyrus will be out in theaters on June 18th and expanding wide June 25th. Thank you guys very much.
I thought you were done. Wait, now you're done.
There we go.
There we go.